Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
And we have got a caller on long distance who's going to be our guest today. And maybe if we're real fortunate, we get to trade places at the end of the show.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen, but at least we can imagine. On the phone with us, we have Dr. Timothy Heck. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, MJ and Jim. Good to be with you again.
You know, we gave our listeners a teaser that you're in a place we'd like to trade with you. And listeners, we are actually on the phone with him. He's in Mexico.
Well, now, here's the thing, MJ. Doing what I do for a living is so taxing. It's so mentally draining that I have to have proper recovery time. And to do that, I have to go to very, very special places where there's lots of water, blue sky, palm trees. Well, I think we'll just leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
I'm going to feel very guilty.
Oh, I want that guy as my counselor.
You know, listeners, a few months ago, we actually talked with Dr. Heck. He came in, and he's been our guest on Faith in Action many times, actually came in for a radiothon a couple times. But you wrote a book, The Liturgy of Marriage, Building the your Relationship with the Right Stuff, and it's R-I-T-E. And when we spoke the last time, I had not read the book in its entirety. And to be honest, at full disclosure, I have read the book now, but I kind of feel like it's a journey that I need to go back. I only read it completely through so that I would be prepared for today. However, I do kind of feel that this is the kind of book that you keep at your bedside table and go through with your husband or wife. Is that the way you wrote it, Tim?
I think that's a good recommendation, but I really think they should have one in every room of the house, you know, because you can never have enough copies of this book. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you pushing the book a little bit. It was a fun exercise. I had always, you know, we all have our bucket list, and mine included writing a book. And my wife, Margie, as sweet as she is, she really kept pushing me because I would always find reasons why I could not do this. And it took me a long time. It took about 4 years from the time that I actually started pinning the outline and kind of sketching out some ideas before it finally hit the press. And so it was a long time coming. I know that it was a product of God doing, as well as a lot of people who have worked with me and I've been privileged to work with as their counselor, that have informed me. But of course, most especially, it really came out of my love for our church and for the Mass, especially the Liturgy of the Mass. And that's why it's entitled The Liturgy of Marriage. We could talk more about that, but it's been a long time coming.
I do want to talk more about that because I really enjoyed the way that you divided the book up into several different segments. And I had the feeling, Tim, when I was reading this book, that, and I don't know if I mentioned this, I have a better understanding of it now, having read more of it, but many years ago, my husband and I went skiing with a couple, and I think it was maybe the first or second time I had been skiing, and so I took a class at the beginning that was offered, and the couple we went with, the woman was an expert skier. But she also took a class at the beginning. We took a skiing class with me. And the name of the kind of retreat that we went on was How to Ski / How to Ski Better. And Yeah, and so she said...
Is this snow skiing, MJ? Is it snow skiing or what?
Snow skiing. Yes,
yeah,
snow skiing.
Yeah, okay.
And so I said to her, why are you taking a class? And she said, oh, I always take a class when I go skiing. Always. And she'd skied for years. And I thought, because she said, I can always get better. And I...
Well, that is so true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you talk about skiing because Margie is an incredible skier. She grew up skiing. I think she started when she was about 3 or 4 years of age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I started in my 20s, and there's a big, big difference. Your body has to figure out how to do this whole thing, but like going down a mountain that's very, very steep, and we ski in Colorado. But one of the things that I do with every first run is I get behind Margie, and I just follow her because she sort of dances in her skiing.
Right.
And she traverses beautifully and lays those turns out. And so I just follow her and I find myself again
right.
in the skiing right. and follow her dance. So it works really well. You're right. You always got to sort of start where you left off.
Exactly. You know, and I felt that reading this book, it spoke to me. I don't think that it really matters where you are in your relationship. But this, whether you've been married for 2 years or just married, or like us, almost 40 years, 38 years, but I learned so much in this book. There were so many little helpful tools and little scenarios, yeah. and I never honestly have read a marriage, kind of a therapeutical book on marriage that was connected or compared to the Mass.
Well, I think, I appreciate you saying that, and I think that any couple that has been married more than a couple of weeks, maybe, they're going to find themselves in the book. This is not a book about how to do marriage perfectly. It's a book about that just describes those rhythms, those cycles, those seasons that we all go through. And from time to time, we find ourselves back at a place where we once were, and we say, oh my goodness, I thought I was beyond this.
Yeah.
Oh no. You're just cycling through it again.
Right.
You probably have more wisdom and you can go faster and do it with less damage. But this is familiar because that's how marriage works. It's a dance. And years ago, I remember taking dance lessons. I don't dance, but I took dance lessons. I learned the steps, but I don't really have that kind of rhythm. But it's just repetition, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 2 steps forward, 1 step over for the waltz or the foxtrot. And that's what marriage is like. We do a lot of the same kind of things, but hopefully we learn to do them better. And eventually, just maybe, we can hear the sound of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and dance in tempo with His rhythm. And that's when the marriage is really a beautiful liturgy, I believe.
Well, listeners, I want you to grab a pen or pencil because we'll mention it now and then we will mention it at the end of the program again. But actually, you will have an opportunity to go a little bit deeper, if you will, as the saying goes, into this book with Dr. Heck, because at the end of next week, November 4th, I believe it is, at St. Simon the Apostle Catholic Church, which is up in the Geist right. area, he will have a half day starting with, I think, a
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock in the morning, and then going to 1 o'clock.
Right.
Now, what is, and I think you're going to kind of go through this a little bit, but what will that look like? What will that kind of morning of reflection be? What will it look like?
Well, we're going to have, I think we're breaking it down. We've got 3 sessions, and some of my good friends and colleagues, Scott Seibert, who's also a licensed therapist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be participating in this. Yeah, you guys know Scott, of course.
Yeah.
And our good friends, Aaron and Angie Heyer at the church, and she's been in youth ministry and different forms of ministry, and Aaron as well, for years. And, of course, my lovely wife, Margie, and I will work together to present this in a way that is not just reading through chapters of the book at all, but rather to give them a brief introduction to the ideas and hopefully whet their appetite, not just to read the book, but to work on their relationship and make some application of some of the principles and ideas that we bring out in the book. And so we'll cover three different sections of the book, taking a look at how we get into relationships and how relationships sort of work. Because there is, it is a dance, but like with every dance, you do have to learn some steps.
Yeah.
That's really important, just like with skiing. Funny, I remember the first thing in my first ski lesson, MJ, that they taught me, I don't know if this is what you learned, they teach you how to fall down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's the first thing you learn.
Which, you know, I'm thinking, this is not what I want to do. I want to learn how to ski. And they say, well, yeah, but when you ski, you're going to fall down. And so you have to then learn how to fall gracefully so that you don't hurt yourself. And
right.
then you get right back up again. And that's an art, too. And isn't that kind of what all relationships are like?
Oh, yeah.
We get up, we ski for a while, and then we fall down. And hopefully we repair and we get up and we get going again. So we're going to look at some of the ideas about how to see in a marriage, how to fall gracefully, and how to repair, get back up and get going again. And I hope it'll be a good experience for everybody who comes.
Well,
we're trying to keep the fee, the registration very low. We have a modest $25 fee for this first one. It's just a half day. We don't want that to keep anybody from coming. And you'll get a copy of the book. And I really think you're going to have a good time just talking amongst yourselves as a couple and with other couples and realizing that we're all in this together.
Well, I'll tell you, I am really looking forward to going. Even though we have been married for 38 years, reading through this book, there's still, I love the way you wrote it. I love the way that I found myself and my husband several times in this book. And I want to toss out a couple things to you and have you comment on them. And they're just little,
sure,
I marked up the book all over with happy faces, question marks, underlining. You want to see the book. But, okay, one thing that I thought was resonated with me is very early in the book, you talk about small breakdowns. That we go through that usually it's not big stuff, it's not usually giant, but it happens small breakdowns that happen over and over and over again. And you say, but if they happen too often and we don't recover from them, then come the huge scenes where a relationship grows weak over time from too many demands, too much stress, and too little loving connection.
Yeah. Well, you did read the book. I'm impressed.
Well, I told you, I marked it all up. So I'm going to toss out a couple of these and have you comment on them a little bit. So
yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
There's several things in what you were getting at there. One is that every couple have their own sort of unique couple kinds of problems or issues or dynamic patterns that they get into. And you work with couples as I do, and sometimes people start to lose their attraction to the partner and to the marriage, and they get into this irrational way of thinking. They think, you know, if I hadn't married, you know, Mary over there, and if I had married Susan over here, I wouldn't be having these problems. And I say, well, no, you wouldn't be having the Mary problems. You'd be having, instead of the John-Mary problems, you'd have the John-Susie problems.
Right.
Because we are just trading problems for problems. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying marriage is all problems. But there's certain tendencies. There are certain tendencies, like when I dance with Margie, I may step on her foot when I do a certain kind of a move. That's just the Tim Margie move. But how do we move through that in a way that hopefully it doesn't break the dance or that we stop dancing altogether? So we want to identify what are our common tendencies, and not just what are they, because it might be, for instance, for many people, it's when they bring up the M word, money. And all of a sudden, they get into a certain pattern. Maybe he starts complaining because of the way that she won't let him buy stuff that he wants to buy, and she starts complaining because he's not saving enough, because after all, her parents said you always have to save X amount. And so they get into their little dance, and it becomes problematic. It becomes painful to experience it and to watch it. And if they can't find a way to move through that and come back together and recover, then that's when they can get into what some researchers refer to it as gridlock. It's like being stuck in the snow, in the mud in your car, and you're just spinning your wheels and not going anywhere. So that's what we want to try to avoid, and we can avoid it by identifying the pattern, identifying the triggers and the issues, and finding new ways to step out of that kind of a messy predicament when we get into it.
Good. That's good info. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today via phone is Dr. Timothy Heck. He's a marriage and family counselor and author. He wrote the book we're talking about on the air today, The Liturgy of the Marriage. There's another spot here that really tickled me, because this was written for me, and it was written for Chris. It was perfect. I loved this. This is a very hopeful passage in here, and it tickled me. Okay, it says you're helping this couple to discover why or remember how they fell in love with each other, okay? And you said, for instance, if my partner's strong sense of organization and order is a constant source of frustration, is it possible you fell in love with his sense of responsibility and integrity? And then you follow it with, I love this, how about the spouse who spends a little too freely? Could that have looked like generosity before the marriage? I loved it. Yeah. I loved that, because you took what eventually morphs into negative, frustrating points into the charming possibilities of what it looked like years ago.
Precisely. And I really think that is what happens to every couple, is that there are what we might think of as behaviors or idiosyncrasies or traits. And these are ways in which we understand who our partner is. It could be that one person is, I was going to say one's more organized, but the truth is, as they say, we organize differently. Some people have filing systems, and some people have piling systems.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And if you're married to a piler, you don't want to mess with their piles, because they know what's in those piles, and you can get in some real trouble. And at the same time, if you're married to a filer, and, you know, you move the spices out of alphabetical order, you could have some real trouble on your hands. And so we rile against these traits, but we forget that they're on a continuum. And on one end of that continuum is a positive expression of that trait that is very attractive. And on the other end of that continuum is a negative expression of that trait. And I might add that I do think that they can go into sort of a red zone. So, for instance, if you have someone, we're on this skiing metaphor today, MJ, so we'll stay with it. Let's say you have someone who's a bit more of an adventurous skier, who likes to go down maybe those steep moguls.
Yeah.
That person may find themselves getting into trouble on occasion, because they're pushing themselves too far to the limit,
right?
Especially if their partner prefers nice, groomed, you know, green or blues. Those kinds of connections can really aggravate the relationship, and the couple forgets. It's almost as though their minds, they go into a kind of an amnesia effect, where they forget the positive expression of that trait. And so this is really a neat exercise for couples to engage in, is to make a list of those negative traits or behaviors or tendencies, and then see if you can find what's on the other end. And I might spiritualize on it a little bit and say that I think that what we're supposed to do in the liturgy of marriage and the sacrament of marriage is to participate with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we're helping to bring out the positive expressions of all aspects of who our partner is. And when that's happening, I mean, you know, that's what a sacrament it is. It really resembles God. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
You know, in another part of the book, Tim, you talk about love, you know, and love is where it's at, and love is everything. I mean, you know, that's what the world is saying, right? But that love is actually sacrificial. And you quote C.S. Lewis several times in the book, but one of my favorite ones here, it's kind of a little nugget of wisdom, is you say, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less.
Yeah, and some of us struggle with that more than others. I tend to be a very introverted individual who can easily get preoccupied with myself in the sense of thinking, am I doing this right? How am I doing? Am I conducting myself properly here? Well, we do better to follow the admonition not only of Lewis but of our Lord, who said, deny yourself. Consider the interest of others over and above yourself, said St. Paul in Philippians 2. And I think that's how a marriage can best function, and is when the partners are really losing themselves in each other. If you ever watched a couple, you know, it may be a young couple and they're just romantically in love. Maybe they're married, maybe they're not. They're sitting over there on the other side of the restaurant, and they're just making fools of themselves. I mean, they just, and they have no idea that anybody else is around.
Oh, sure.
And even, you know, I public displays of affection always kind of embarrass me, but the fact is, it is a beautiful thing.
Oh,
it's
sure.
an attractive thing to see people who are just losing themselves in that beautiful dance, in that beautiful relationship. And I think that's what, I keep coming back to the Mass, but have you ever been in the Mass and you looked around and you saw people that were just losing themselves in the liturgy of the Eucharist, in the liturgy of the Mass? It's beautiful, and would that we could all lose ourselves to that extent and discover what comes to us by entering into the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus.
You know, Tim, you mentioned, and we're chatting with Dr. Timothy Heck. He's a marriage and family counselor and author. He wrote The Liturgy of Marriage, Building Your Relationship with the Rite, as in R-I-T-E stuff. There's a couple more things. This one was very interesting, and I kind of have to take a step back, and I'm going to check myself for the next couple weeks, but you have smack dab in the middle of the book something called a God consciousness in marriage, and you have a low satisfaction couple and then a high satisfaction couple, and you give a couple examples of phrases, the exact same phrases, but two words that are a little bit different in each one. A low satisfaction couple, you say, will say, give me a call when you get a chance, I'd love to get together. That's low satisfaction. High satisfaction couple, give us a call when you get a chance. We'd love to get together.
Yeah, it's they don't do it on purpose. Although I will sometimes encourage couples who are in distress to do it intentionally on purpose to get back into that rhythm. But if you are if you're with couples and you just sort of pay attention to this, you'll notice that they've become so caught up in the relationship that they don't think of themselves as a single individual,
right.
Even as an individual, but as a couple. We are an us, and it's just right below the level of their conscious awareness, and that's what I mean by sort of a marriage consciousness, is that they're aware that I can't, you know, there's somebody right beside me. And I need to make sure there's room before I walk through this door. And I do think it's also so critical that we have a God consciousness, that we're aware that we're not going through this life experience on our own, that there is a God, and He is with us, and He is personally involved, integrally involved in our lives and in our marriages.
And, you know, listeners, if you're listening and you're thinking, gosh, this sounds good, I want to know more, I want to hear more, this could be beneficial. And I really think this could be beneficial if you're feeling disconnected, or if you're feeling like, I want more, or gosh, maybe I could learn something, or maybe we could recapture something. There's so much in this book. Next Saturday, November 4th at St. Simon the Apostle Catholic Church from 9 o'clock until 1, Dr. Tim Heck will be there. It's a minimal cost. I think it's $25, but you get the book with, and don't let the cost keep you away from the morning, spending the morning.
Absolutely.
You do mention in the back, we just have a couple minutes left, but I think this actually is scientifically proven, but you kind of go through some, at the very end, part three, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And you mention in there, the Lord's Prayer makes a difference and praying makes a difference. And you, I starred this, but you say praying brings peace.
Well, it does. I mean, it really does. And not necessarily peace in the sense that an oozy, aussy feeling that I can get when I walk down to the beach. That's peaceful. But peace in the much deeper, eternal sense, which is when we are at one with a spouse, with our children, with our friends, and ultimately with God himself. That is true peace, to be in a state of oneness, which is, if you read the first two chapters of the first book of the Bible in Genesis, that's what you will see. In Eden, they had peace. They had that kind of oneness. And then came chapter 3, and everything fell apart. And we've been trying to put it together ever since.
Amen. Amen. We're out of time. It goes so quickly. Tim, God bless you for being our guest.
Thank you, MJ.
On Faith in Action.
Hey, can I put a
Please.
Plug in for our website?
Please
it's
do.
Liturgyofmarriage.com. Liturgyofmarriage.com. We wanted to push the spelling skills of all of our listeners to see if they could get that. It's liturgyofmarriage, all one word, .com. You can learn more about us, the book, and the upcoming workshop on Saturday. Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
God bless you, Tim. Have a wonderful time.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcast.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.